Morning, church.
Morning.
It's good to be here. Sorry, I'm nervous. I don't do this often. So, praise the Lord. I'm preaching from Psalm 146, and the first words, as you'll see in a minute, are praise the Lord. Now, I've been reading a few commentaries, and one of the first ones I read says that's a summoning. So let's say it together. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. So, firstly, I want to say thank you so much to Simon for what he said. And I also want to refer back to Stephen's sermon last week, which was based on, really, ways you can worship. And I want to underline one, which was standing in awe of God's presence in His creation. I remember becoming a Christian. I was quite small. Dylan would remember. And I remember giving my life to God and going out, just outside of the door, and looking at a tree. I can promise you, I've never looked at a tree the same. It was as if it became so clear. It was as if it grew in front of me. And I realized at that moment that, wow, God created that.
Yes.
And I stood in awe of God. Mm. I stood in awe of His creation. Mm. So, I want to make a few points. But my first point I want to take from Psalm 146, verse 3 to 4. But I'll read the whole psalm just so you have a sneak peek. Mm. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes and human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. And on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But He frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. And I want to take you to a story I was told when I was younger. I can say that. But I was told the story about, you can tell the God a city worships by the buildings you see. And I don't know how many of you know it, but back then you could see the biggest building was usually the church that had a tower. And you could see, wow, that's where they put their trust in. That's who they run to when things get tough. And if we use that same statement today, what would we say our God is? Where do we put our trust in? I can tell you for one, that money rules. Money is generated from all these massive, they call skyscrapers, right?
Yeah,
skyscrapers.
Yeah.
Money is what most people put their trust in today. And there's this quote that says, rely on man and you'll be disappointed by man. Rely on God and you'll be appointed by God. I don't know about you, but I would love to be appointed by God. Now, I want to refer to Psalm 146, verse 3. It says, do not put your trust in princes, in moral men, because they cannot save you. You see, just as it says in the next verse, I'll just use the Bible. It says, when their spirits depart, when they die, their plans come to nothing on that very day. Have you ever sort of, I don't know if people have done this, but a person makes a promise to you. They promise you a whole bunch of things, then they die. I'm going to use Dylan as an example. The day he left, I put my trust in Dylan before I became, like, sort of just after I became a Christian. When he left to come to the UK, I felt like everything was broken inside of me. I had to realize in a later stage that, hold on, where is my trust really found? Is my trust found in God or Dylan? Who's going to save me? Dylan will die. And God will survive. Sorry, John. Sorry. Under the bus. No, but it is a true factor. Every person will die, but God is eternal. As Stephen said, God is eternal. He lives forever, everlasting to everlasting. So, why put your trust in something that cannot save you? Money cannot save you. No matter how much you have, it will not save you. As a matter of fact, it will buy you all the nice things you want, but all those nice things are worthless in heaven. So I'll just put something in for Jillian. Bless you. Money will not save you. Give generously to Christian Aid. So my second point I want to go into is Psalm 146, verses 6 to 9, where it says, He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. So there are many things that God does, right? But my point I want to make, also put across, is why? Why should we praise God? Why should we praise this Lord we speak of? Why should we praise Jesus? Why? So I have a few reasons. Firstly, he created everything that's around you. The chairs you're sitting on right now, he created them because they came from trees, and he created trees. He came from your mind, he created your mind. He is faithful to us. He stands up for us. He provides for us. He sets us free from whatever bound us. And he loves us. The list goes on and on and on. But I just want to focus on three of those. Number one is, he is faithful to us. Number two is, he stands up for us. And number three is, he loves us. I bet you could have guessed that. But, yes. So, he is faithful to us. I love that song that we were singing earlier. It says, how great is your faithfulness? Am I wrong? It says, how great is your faithfulness? That's a question. I don't know how great his faithfulness is. Because he was so faithful that he died. As a matter of fact, he was so faithful to each one of us that he took the scorn of the cross, the shame of the cross, the torture of the cross, and took everything that comes with it for us. He is faithful to us because he loves us. Has anyone ever been that faithful to something or to someone to the point of death? But to the point of not only death, but death on a cross. Has anyone ever been that faithful to anything? I don't know about you, but I can just imagine Jesus sitting in sort of God's presence, you know, the house, the big mansion, gold gates, gold rows, whatever. And here we are on earth. Just, we do something wrong. And Jesus is like, no, Father, please. Let me take his punishment. Let me take his whip. Because God, in the Old Testament, we saw what he did to the sinners. And the wages of sin are death. But I can imagine Jesus saying, Father, let me take the blame. I can imagine saying, let me die to save him. And I don't know about you, but that sounds like someone is faithful to me. That sounds like someone watches over me and stands up for me. But that also sounds like someone loves me. He loves me so much.
Yes, he does.
So, my second point I want to sort of focus on is love. Does anyone know the sort of the story of grace? Everyone, I'm sure everyone knows grace. Grace? Yes, grace. So, grace is the undeserved favor. And we all know that there's nothing we can do, pay, or even say that could repay Jesus for what he did on that cross. There's absolutely nothing. So why did he do it? Because he loves us. He's faithful to us. And he stood up for us to take our blame.
Yeah.
That's, yeah. take our blame, yeah, and to take our sin. He didn't only take our sin, but he took upon the sin of the world. Mm. He took upon my sin. He took upon your sin. We've all done bad things. And some of them we wish we never did. But he said, I've taken that from you. You are clean. You are now righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, my favorite verse, it says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We have now become the righteousness of God because of Jesus, because he loved us. So I want to use the words again. So why praise the Lord? Well, those are good reasons that I've given. But not only did he create everything, not only does he provide for you when things get tough, not only does he stand up for us when we need someone to stand up for us, but because God sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not die but have eternal life. Mm. And I think that's a very good reason to praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So that's a summoning. Can we say, praise the Lord?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's praising.